means we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the October 15th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Let's kick off Friday's show with a belated Sunny Side of Sports birthday salute for Nigeria's football captain, Ahmed Musa. Ahmed celebrated his 29th birthday on Thursday, and he also recently celebrated his 100th and 101st caps for the Super Eagles of Nigeria. For reaction, Iron Mike Mbonye contacted the media officer of Nigeria's national men's football team, Babafemi Raji.
It's a good one for Ahmed Musa to have gotten 100 and 101 caps. That's what he has right now. The 101st cap was in the game against the Central African Republic in Douala. It's a great one for him as an individual, because he's a very cool person, dedicated to the team, committed to the team. And it's a good one. We're happy that he's got that, and we know he deserves even more caps with the way he's going. He's a thoroughly disciplined footballer.
Ahmed Musa joins former Super Eagles captain Joseph Yobo and former goalkeeper Vincent Enyama as players who won 100 caps for the Super Eagles. Can you describe Musa's personality and qualities?
Yes, that's true. He joins the likes of Joseph Yobo, Vincent Enyama, those that have indeed won 100 caps and more. Talking about Musa's personality, he's a very humble person. Musa is very humble, friendly. Musa is disciplined. His leadership quality is top-notch. He's well-respected by his teammates. Rather in the Super Eagles, whenever we're together, when Musa speaks, you will feel, you know, there's a difference between demanding respect and commanding respect. He commands that respect. His presence alone inspires the rest of the team. So Ahmed Musa is a very great guy, a very, very great guy. And I tell you, he's the kind of person or any team would want to have as their captain. Wonderful person, good quality, committed, dedicated, is a true patriot and knows what it is to serve his fatherland, to serve our fatherland.
Musa won the 101 cap for Nigeria on a winning note in Douala, Cameroon. What was the atmosphere like with teammates, coaches, and other officials?
The atmosphere was indeed wonderful. Pictures, we celebrated him, prayed for him, prayed with him. The atmosphere was that of joy, happiness. Everyone was just excited that, yes, he's got it, and he still has a lot more to do with this. 100 caps, 101 caps right now. We still have another window, hopefully, and then things continue like that. So the atmosphere was indeed great in camp when he picked his 100 cap and then the 101st cap. Ahmed Musa is truly a great player.
That's Babafemi Raji, the media officer of Nigeria's national men's football team, the Super Eagles. And he spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Lagos, Nigeria.
Sporty greetings. This is Babafemi Raji, media officer of the Super Eagles of Nigeria. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
In more African football news, Ghana is coming off two World Cup qualifying wins against Zimbabwe, victories that coincided with the return of a Serbian manager. Joining us now from Accra is Yawafusu Larbi. Sporty greetings, Yao.
Sporty greetings, Sunny. Milovan Rajevac's return to Ghana's national team has sparked a sense of good cheer amongst football fans across the country. 11 years ago, the Serbia trainer left the shores of Ghana after giving it the best ever moment in World Cup history. But the marriage went sour, and in a month, he was gone. Now that he is back, he is looking to undo all the wrongs from the past and put the country back on top again. In two games since his return, He has won twice and given Ghanaian football fans the chance to dream again as the World Cup qualifiers roll on. The Football Association, in a bid to ensure that his work comes out very well, has appointed two Ghanaian assistant coaches, one of whom is Borussia Dortmund's assistant coach, Otto Addo. Addo was a member of the Ghana team that played at the country's first ever World Cup in 2006 and has grown to become a likable football personality in these parts. Now at one of the most important roles in football in the country, he wants the highest level of commitment from the players.
In football, you know, you don't look too far away. So the next goal is always the most important, and now it's with Dortmund obviously to be on top of the league, and with Ghana to qualify for the World Cup.
Ghana's chances of qualifying to another World Cup lies mainly in the team quality. From defence to attack, the team can boast of some good players who can make a mark in the qualifying series. Addo agrees.
Actually, like always, Ghana's always got lots of talented players, and but surely there's so much more to learn. I've just joined the team recently, and what I saw was especially offensively very, very impressive. We have a lot of skills, we are very creative, we have speed, we have stamina, we have everything. But there's a lot of things to do in parts of tactical decision-making during the game. We have to work a lot because we have to work as a team, and this is the most important.
Ghana has two more games in the first qualifying phase, one against Ethiopia in Addis Ababa and another against South Africa in Cape Coast, to stand a chance of qualifying to the playoff stage. A lot more improvements will be needed to conquer the group and get back to the world stage again.
The team has the quality to compete against every team in the world, this is for sure, but we have to improve, because at the moment also, I have to be honest, we can lose against every team of the world as well. So we have to improve on many, many things. The coach is working on it. He has done this week where I've been with him and the team. He has done great work on working on compactness, on moving together, fulfilling or having the same idea on how we should play forward and also how we should defend against different systems. And we have to improve and work on the things which we are not good at, and then we are capable of beating everything.
For the Sunny Side of Sports, this is Yao Fusilabi in Accra.
Hello, this is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week, right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
Thanks, Heather. Kenyan police have arrested the husband of Olympic runner Agnes Tirop, and he will be charged with her murder. Ibrahim Rotich was arrested Thursday evening in the coastal city of Mombasa after a nationwide manhunt. Police say he was taken into custody after Rotich crashed his vehicle into a truck and evaded a first attempt by officers to apprehend him. Agnes Tirop, one of the world's leading distance runners, was found stabbed to death Wednesday at her home in the western town of Eaton, more than 800 kilometers from Mombasa. Prince Nesta asked Julius Yego, Tirop's Olympic teammate, what legacy does she leave behind?
She has a big legacy. Despite the fact that she has left us at a very young age, she has a big legacy. During her junior years, I think she won a lot of medals for this country. She was the 2017 World Cross Country Champion, remember? She won bronze in Tokyo, you know, in Doha World Championship, where I was also the captain of that team. And in Tokyo, she did so well. It was not her day, you know. And, you know, in championship like this, like the World Championship and the Olympics, you know, sometimes you have to accept the results. Maybe God had planned you for other things. Now she smashed the world record for 10 kilometers. But she was not able to win anything at the Olympics. So you see, God had other plans for her. She has a big legacy, a very talented woman, a very focused lady who wanted always to be among the best. She wasn't happy when she became fourth at the Tokyo Olympics. But we spoke after that, like, just let's accept the results. Accept the position where you have got. It's because God always gives. You know, He's the one who plans for us. Yes, we do our part. We train, we focus, we pray. But on that single day, God only decides who are the top three, you know? Mm-hmm. And yes, accept it. Accept it. She has a big legacy. She's left a big legacy for this country. That yes, indeed, in the long distance, 5,000 and 10,000, she really had a bright future, but it was cut short.
Huge blow for Kenya. This reminds me of actually Kenyan former Olympic marathon winner Samuel Wanjiru's, you know, untimely death at only 24 years old. Agnes Tirop, who actually died at 25 years old. Former 400 meter hurdler who won actually the world championship, Nicholas Bent, also died through a road accident and stuff. When you connect all these things, what's your thoughts on like all these deaths that I've mentioned?
Oh, you know, all these deaths, they look like they had some similar connections. And the main issue is relationship, you know, toxic relationships. And I think it's high time that as a country, we need to come together, especially, you know, as athletes, we speak together. That yes, we have to accept that. We are not the first people to get into relationship or into marriages. We had people, you know, we had generations which have passed and they were in relationships like this. And when you are in a difficulty in a relationship, it is not the end of life. You can do a separation, which is the best thing. Or even before that, seek an advice. Talk to people, talk to your close friends, talk to your parents. Seek advice. When you're having a difficulty in that, just speak out. Don't keep quiet because we only come to realize that you are in a toxic relationships after the sad news get into us. Mm-hmm. So let's speak together. Let's remember relationship wrangles is not the end of life. Don't end someone's life too. Yeah, don't end someone's life. If you think it can't really work, the best thing is just leave that relationship. Take a break. And you know, it's better to leave rather than for us to come and cry, and, you know, and young athlete like that who had bright future in their lives, you know, who are meant maybe even to be the world record holders at some point. And when you lose them, it's so sad. It's so sad. You know, sometimes I wish, you know, I had that opportunity at that point when they were really in that low end that they can speak up and say, I'm in this trouble. Can you help me? I will be ready to help, you know, because losing someone is difficult. It's a difficult thing. Mm-hmm. And in athletics, you know, we as athletes, we are brothers and sisters. That's why when such news is broken to us, you know, you lack words to speak. You don't even have the energy to speak and say, I'm sorry. You just take time. So it's shocking, especially someone you've been too close. You've been one team together, representing Kenya, winning even together. Like Beth, we shared the room in Beijing, and after that we lost him. You know, it's shocking. Wanjiru, I didn't see him like I was still not an active athlete. I was still young when he died. But yeah, you know, when you connect all these issues, it comes into relationships. And we need to know that in relationships, don't put all your life there. Remember, we have issues. That is why before even you get married, you are told that it's not about life and death.
Mm-hmm.
You have it, issues will arise. Even the bishops who have families, you know, even our pastors, who we call them to pray for us, they do have issues in their families, you know. So it's part of life. Don't just take away the life of someone, or don't accept your life to be taken away just because of such toxic relationships.
I totally agree. You've been a world champion before, and you are a celebrity. I mean, a lot of people look up to you. You've achieved what a lot of people could just dream about, but you've gone ahead and achieved all this. And, you know, I am also from Kenya, and, you know, I know the Kenyan culture especially. If you have issues and stuff, you tend to keep it to yourself. You don't speak out. And, you know, sometimes these athletes might be going through stuff. And, you know, because of their fame, possibly, it's just so hard for them to speak out and share. Because, you know, the bloggers are always there also to, you know, highlight whatever is going on in your personal life. There are those kind of pressures. Do athletes have a support system, would you say, that possibly could have helped alleviate some of these issues, or could have helped prevent some of these deaths?
I think the main issue should be, you know, when I have an issue, I will speak up. For me, I think I'm quite a different guy. If I have an issue with something or someone, I will just say, like, I will tell someone, a close friend, I will seek advice. Or even when I have issue with my wife, I will tell my wife, no, please, is this issue worth us being in a disagreement, you know, come to terms and say, no, it's not worth it. Yes, can we have an harmony on it? Yes, harmonize it. But I think sometimes maybe, yes, some of us, some of the athletes, they fear, you know, coming into the public domain on the negative side, now in issues, relationships. But I always say, before I became an athlete, I'm a normal human being. Yes, I'm a top athlete. Everyone knows me. But are we vulnerable to issues? Yes, we are, because you are human beings. Accept it. When you have an issue, speak up. Don't let it, you know, reach a point where it's a point of no return into depression. I was speaking with a women, athlete representative a few minutes before we started this talk. And she's also going for another burial of one of our athletes, Macha Renyang, who lost his life in almost the same circumstances. He was found dead in his house. We suspect a homicide issue. And we're still in shock, like, what is really happening? If you have a problem with, you know, in relationship, let's speak up. Speak up. You know, look for someone, a close friend. Even if it is not an athlete, I'm very sure when you speak up, people will reach their athletic authorities and say, someone so-and-so are having issues. Can you help us? And I'm very sure they will help. Now she was telling me it has come into the attention that some even athletes, top athletes who have issues in their families. She didn't disclose to me the names, but, and we were like, yeah, we need to come together and speak about it. You know, let's act before it becomes the sad news we're seeing now. We shouldn't lose such, you know, souls. Yeah. Because of relationships, we need to speak up.
That's Julius Yago, Kenya's former world javelin champion and the 2016 Olympic silver medalist. And Julius was talking with Prince Nesta from Eldoret, Kenya.
Hi, my name is Julius Yago, former world javelin champion and Olympic silver medalist. And you are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Samson Omale joins us now with a big package of African sports news. And Samson says he'll begin with the criminal case involving the murder of Kenyan distance runner Agnes Tirop. Sporty Friday greetings, Samson.
Sporty Friday greetings to you, Sonny. We begin the wrap of African sport action for this weekend in Kenya, where Ibrahim Kipkemoi Rotich, the husband of slain Kenyan long-distance athlete Agnes Tirop, has been arrested in Mombasa. Rotich, who is the key suspect in the murder of the 25-year-old two-time world World Championships medalist was apprehended by police in Changamawe, Mombasa on Thursday night after being trailed for 2 days. I spoke with Robin Toskin, Kenya's sports editor and writer at Standard Group, on why Ibrahim Kipkemoi Rotich is the main suspect.
We understand that they had marital differences. So they had even, according to the neighbors, they had separated for close to 2 months, but then looks like they patched up their differences and she went back. According to close friends, including her pacemaker, they say that their relationship has deteriorated just before the Olympics. But then after the Olympics, they came together and everyone thought that they were back together now, living, in harmony. But as it were, it never came to pass. The police were called in after the neighbors said that they hadn't seen the lady for close to 2 days. And any phone calls to her went unanswered, so the relatives got concerned given that they had had some differences. Upon reaching there, nobody knows what happened, but then it is thought that the husband actually killed her.
Athletics Kenya boss Jackson Tuwei had earlier on Thursday said no athletics event will be held in the country for the next 2 weekends as the country mourns the fallen former world 10 kilometers record holder. He also wants a speedy investigation and prosecution of those behind the murder of the Kenyan athlete.
On evidence of what she has achieved in her young career thus far, this is a life cut short, one that will pain us as a federation for quite a long time. We are confident the relevant agencies are working round the clock to ensure speedy justice to the family and friends who have been left emotionally scared by the demise of someone they depended on for financial and psychological support.
World record holder Agnes Tirop was found stabbed to death at her home in the western town of Etienne. The two-time World Athletics Champions bronze medalist, who finished fourth in the Olympics 5,000 meters final 2 months ago, was 25 years old. Last month, Tirop set the world record for a women's only 10-kilometer road race in Germany.
Sporty greetings. This is Masai Ujiri, the president of Toronto Raptors Basketball, president of Giants of Africa Foundation. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Masai Ujiri, the proprietor, Giant of Africa Basketball Foundation, has unveiled in Lagos, Nigeria, the fourth basketball court built by his foundation in his quest to build no fewer than 100 basketball courts across Africa. Masai Ujiri is the first and only African-born president and general manager of a professional sports franchise in North America, the National Basketball Association's Toronto Raptors. An excited Masai Ujiri said the essence of providing the basketball courts was to nurture talents and develop future champions for Nigeria and the rest of Africa.
I believe in youth, and I believe in youth, whether they're in community, whether they're in schools, wherever they are. I was a youth like that in this country. We all grew up here. I grew up in Africa, here in northern Nigeria, and I think schools are a big part of it, because education goes with sports, and sports goes with education. We have to encourage sports now, because it is a business. We have the talent. We have to encourage kids.
Olayemi Olowoboye is the principal of Ijesha Tedo Senior Grammar School, a beneficiary of one of the four basketball courts.
They can also be another Masai and another Akeem Olajuwon, changing the narratives of this country. Not just that our boys, our children are just doing all kinds of rubbish, but these ones are going to be representing Nigeria very well. So there are actually 18 schools in this complex.
Masai Ujiri, a former Nigerian national team player, became a scout in 2002, first for the Orlando Magic and then the Denver Nuggets of the United States in the National Basketball Association, NBA. His goal is to use basketball as a tool to get the young people of Africa to achieve their dreams.
We made a commitment to build 100 courts around the continent over the years. We started in East Africa, and we've built four in Nigeria, and we're happy to be here with the kids celebrating.
Staying with basketball, the Nigeria's national women basketball team, the Tigress, has called out the Basketball Federation, the Sports Ministry and the Presidency over their unpaid wages and allowances. They are also expressing grievances over what they described as unfair treatment meted out on them by the Nigerian government and the Nigerian Basketball Federation after their victory at the just-concluded 2021 FIBA Afro Basket Women's Championship in Cameroon. Ife Ibekwe, the Tigress forward, and Captain Ezin Nekalu all took to Twitter to vent their frustration.
First, we want to say thank you to the Nigerian Embassy in Cameroon for celebrating us. We appreciate you more than you know. Other than that, we do not feel appreciated or celebrated after achieving this historical feat. We have defended our championship and brought back the cup in 2019 and 2021, which is historical, but still no invitation has been extended to the team to visit Asora or a presidential handshake. Why?
President of NBBF, Musa Kida, said that the Federation isn't owing any players, officials, or vendors. This is far from the truth. The last time we checked, our allowances, stipends, bonuses, training grants, and donations made by banks for players, officials, and volunteers still have not been paid.
We are owed $73,118 from the NBBF, $24,000 from the Ministry for the Tokyo Grant, and $100,000 from donations from three banks in Nigeria.
Ever since our general manager and team manager resigned, we feel like we've been marginalized. Our senior leadership, like the former president, never really shows up for camps or competitions to boost our morale. And when we have significant concerns and issues.
Sam Amedo, a former board member of the Nigerian Basketball Federation, faulted the manner the girls went about their protests on Twitter, but admitted that the girls have not been paid some of their monies.
All of a sudden, they are complaining now. Yes, they have right to complain. But why Facebook? Why social media? Social media is not an official forum of complaint. What you don't have, you cannot give. The MBBF doesn't have that money. The banks paid it to the ministry, who are the ones in charge of adopt an athlete. So the money is still intact, like the ministry said in their release.
In a swift reaction, the federal government said unpaid bonuses and allowances owed the male and female basketball teams are ready. Permanent Secretary, Federal Minister of Youth and Sports Development, Ismaila Abubakar, however, said that the monies donated to both the senior female national team and their male counterpart are domiciled with the country's Apex Bank.
I want to use this opportunity to assure you that money is safe because it is presently domiciled with the Central Bank of Nigeria. And contrary to the allegations out there, the money is intact and we have the records at our disposal.
In the latest twist to the controversy, the girls have rejected steps taken by the country's sports ministry to commence part payment of some of the monies owed the team, insisting the ministry should hold off on doing that unless every playing and non-playing staff of the team from 2018 to date is included in the ministry's plans. And now to swimming. The 14th Kana Africa Swimming Championship got underway on Monday at the Bukom International Pool at the Trust Sports Emporium in Accra, Ghana. Ghana is for the first time hosting the championship, which will end on Sunday, the 17th of October, 2021. President of Africa Swimming Confederation, Sam Ramsamy of South Africa, speaks on the importance of the competition.
This is the first time swimmers are coming up, and they're all very, very happy, delighted that we can get them swimming.
President of the African Swimming Confederation, Sam Ramsamy of South Africa, said 42 countries are participating and explains why the tournament is very important in building talents for the continent.
Firstly, simply because this is the first competition, we're not worried really about times. We're worried about participation. And you saw the number of people involved here, especially the swimmers. That itself is a great accolade, testimony that we are back in the water.
That's Sam Ramsamy, the president of the African Swimming Confederation, and he spoke from Accra, Ghana, the venue for the 14th African Swimming Championships. And thanks to Samson Omale for that spicy African sports package. And that wraps up the October 15th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in and have a nice weekend. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.
I get it.